Thank you, guys. Hey, guys, you go ahead and get out your message notes. We're starting a new series today. Through some of my conversations this week with different folks that are close to me and everything, I kind of got to thinking about the cross, and I stumbled across this kind of this lesson that this study on the cross and seven words that were taught from the cross. So for the next, I don't know, several weeks, probably all the way to December, we're going to be looking at seven expressions or seven words that Jesus taught from the cross. And this one is, this week, is about forgiveness. And my guess is there isn't a person here today that doesn't need to hear something on forgiveness. And so we're going to talk about, that's our very first topic. And our focal point is going to be out of Luke. Luke chapter 23:34. As they have Jesus led up to the mountain, to where they'll crucify, gone through a bunch of stuff here, and he's on the cross, and he says, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." Now, Jesus is praying for those folks who are crucifying. He's praying for the soldiers. He's praying for the Pharisees. And I would imagine he's praying for me and you. This verse doesn't make any sense unless you understand the life of Jesus and how he lived this life of forgiveness. It didn't to me when I first came to know him. But then as I got to know him better, I saw that he lived this life of forgiveness, and he calls us to do the same. This is his pattern, this life of forgiveness. And that's what we want to do today. We want to go from Jesus' pattern to our practice, to make it a practice for us. And the Bible can take us there. So to that, the title of today's lesson is Why You Should and How You Can. We're going to talk about why you should, how to do it. Very first thing we got to figure out is this thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the pattern of Jesus. For all you blanker filler-inners. While you're writing that down, I want to tell you something too. There's going to be something kind of special at the end of the service today. So I want you to stay. It won't take but about 2 minutes. So I want you to stay. Don't leave. Could you do that for me? All right. Now, Luke 23 that we just read was at the end of his earthly ministry. So I think it's really important that we know that and listen to what Jesus is trying to teach us. I think what was important to him, you know, while he's nailed on the cross, he's saying, get this, get this, get this. So he's teaching us about forgiveness. But even in the very early stages of his ministry, Matthew 5:44 says this, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Forgiveness will mean nothing to you if you haven't been hurt. Forgiveness requires hurt. Forgiveness requires enemies who persecute you. But the one thing neat about the life of Jesus is that he had this consistent pattern of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And he calls us to forgive. Even at the Last Supper, he told them, "My blood is a new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ shed his blood so that we might be forgiven. That's why he died. So that we might be forgiven. So forgiveness is the pattern of Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't the only one in the Bible who at his death prayed for others who are actually killing him. Luke records a guy named Stephen in the book of Acts who was following Jesus' pattern at this time. Acts 6:59 says, they were stoning Stephen as he called out, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And saying this, he fell asleep, or he died. Why would Stephen do this? Because it was the very pattern of Jesus that he was living out. Hold on. The pattern, if you're writing notes, is this. Forgiving those who hurt you becomes the practice of Christians. Forgiving those who hurt you becomes the practice of Christians. And that's what I want to look at today, is in choosing to forgive, we're choosing to be like Jesus. And so I want to unpack this. It's foundational to Christianity that Jesus forgives and calls us to be forgivers. Why? Because we're forgiven. Being a Christian is not just about being a good person. It's ultimately being forgiven of your sins because of the work of Christ on the cross. His work on the cross. So we are forgiven so that we may be forgivers. That changes everything. It changes everything. God forgive, and so can you. A preacher once said that I was reading that. He said that if you want to draw a crowd, preach on three things. Number one, preach on sex. Preach on sex and people will flock to the building. Preach on the end times. Number two, preach on the end times. Get you some charts, some horns, and some dates, you know, name some names. People will flock. The third thing you can preach on is, will there be sex in the end times? Guaranteed crowd. But I'm convinced that if you teach people how to be forgiven and how to be forgivers, that their lives will be changed so much through the power of the gospel that people will be attracted to them because they are new people in Christ. I think so. Loving people, loved people, forgiven and forgiving, people will come. It will change who they are and how they relate to each other once they forgive and once they become forgivers. Because people crave that kind of freedom. They really do. And that's what church is all about. That's why we come here for the biggest part on Sundays is to announce the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has come, He died, and that He's rose from the grave and forgiveness is offered. That's good news. Jesus' pattern leads to our practice. Of course, the obvious question is this. How do I follow Jesus in His pattern? Well, it begins with a decision. Everything begins with a decision, so we have to decide to forgive. We got to decide to forgive. It is not an act of your will. You do it because it is right, not because it's easy. Forgiving is certainly not natural, but it's right. Forgiveness is what we're called to do and what we're called to be. This is an action, not a feeling. Guys, I got to tell you, you're not always going to feel like forgiving. I've had people tell me, say, Jim, I can't forgive right now. You know, I'm so hurt. You just don't understand what they did. It's not about how you feel. It's about doing the right thing. Forgiveness is a decision that you make. Guys, you and I should never let our emotions dictate life-changing decisions. Unforgiveness is a life-changing decision. It's the right thing to do, whether you feel like it or not. Is that plain enough? It's the right thing to do. Secondly, actually, we forgive. Here's why we forgive. We forgive because Jesus forgave you. He forgave me. That forgiveness does not come naturally. It comes supernaturally. I can forgive because Jesus forgave me. Forgiveness is who God is. It's why Jesus came, and it's what Christians do. If you can't forgive, please don't give Christ a bad name and say you're a Christian if you can't forgive. It's who God is. It's why Jesus came. It's what Christians do. We forgive. Colossians 3:13, accepting one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Just as the Lord has forgiven you also. I forgot to do Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. I tell you, forgiveness didn't come natural for me. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that it did. It wasn't something that we talked about in the Pinkard household. We more or less talked about holding grudges. We more or less talked about revenge. My guess is that most of you didn't talk about forgiveness a lot either. Would I be right? I mean, you know, overeating a tomato sandwich, you wouldn't say, hey, let's talk about forgiveness. Or tomato. You know, overeating a tomato sandwich, you wouldn't say, hey, let's talk about forgiveness. Or tomato. The only way that you are going to be forgiven, or the only way that you're going to be forgiving, is to be forgiven by the grace of God so that you can forgive others. You have to be forgiven first. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, and you've never responded to this offer of forgiveness that I'm talking about, this offer of forgiveness from the cross that Jesus offers. I want to tell you, God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross that you can be forgiven, redeemed. Redeemed just means paid. He's going to pay for your sins. And you can be changed, and you can be a forgiver. You can be a forgiver. We also need to forgive because you need to be set free. You need to be set free. I'm going to tell you something. If you really get this, if you can't forgive the person who hurt you, he or she retains a hold on you. You're not free at all. You live in a self-imposed prison. If you can't let go, if you can't forgive, you're letting them hold you. Look at these strong words in the Bible from Matthew 6. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What does that mean? All right. Jesus, forgive me as much as I forgave Stacy. Now that's strong. Jesus, forgive me as much as I forgave Jim Pinkard. Jesus, do you want total forgiveness? Are you still, you want Jesus to hold on a little bit? No. That's strong words. Strong words. I didn't write them. It says, for if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Once we're forgiven, we're called to be forgivers. There's also a parable in Matthew 18 that Peter and Jesus was having this conversation in Matthew 18. That Peter and Jesus was having this conversation and Peter asked, Jesus, that Lord, how many times can my brother sin against? Give him as many times as seven. Seven was huge back then, you know. And Jesus answered him and said, no, 70 times seven. And I know a lot of you done the math right in your head. That's 490 times. The point is, Jesus said, it's immeasurable. 490 forgivenesses could take place on the commute on 75. It's, amen? I mean, it's immeasurable. But Jesus went on to explain in the parable that it's about the kingdom of heaven. He talks about the slave. You remember we talked about him a few weeks ago, about the slave whose master, he owed the master, I mean, just piles of money. We'll say $100,000. And he hadn't paid him yet, and he didn't have a visible way of paying him. And so the master said, look, I'm going to have pity on you. I'm going to release you out of prison. Your debt is free. You don't owe me anything. Go. And he walks out the prison. What's he do? He runs into another guy that owes him $10. And what's he do to the guy that owes him $10? Grabs him by the, you know, robe, whatever they wore, and says, where's my money? Where's my $10? Where's my $10? He couldn't pay, so he throws him into jail. And the master heard about it. And so he tells his people, you know, go get that guy. I just forgave him of $100,000, and he's attacking people for $10. And go get him. And here's what he said. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay everything that was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive your brother from his heart. We have been forgiven. We need to be careful, once we're forgiven, not to be judgmental. Not to be judgmental. And unwilling to forgive others. Strong words from Jesus Christ. The point is compared to the forgiveness that we have in Christ, we can't forgive others. I got to tell you guys, I've been forgiven much. And you have too. You have too. We can forgive others. Our debt was great. I know some of you have been hurt in unimaginable ways. Still, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers is greater. It's greater. It changes me. I got to tell you guys, it changes me when I forgive others. Do you know what I've been? I've been set free. I want to live a free life. My life is free when I'm able to forgive others. Some of you today are in that self-imposed prison that I've talked about earlier. This morning, you know, when that person that hurt you, that wronged you, they may have moved on. They may have even died already. I got to tell you, as your pastor, someone that really cares about you, you need to forgive them. Simply because you need to be free. You need to be free. You got to move on. Jesus gives you that power. They may not deserve to be forgiven. Well, neither did you. Neither did me. It's called mercy. Mercy. You need to be free in Christ. Freedom is supernatural forgiveness. We can also forgive for its own reward. Jesus is unapologetic about this, and I love it in Luke 6. He says this, but love your enemies, do what is good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Freedom! Remember? Personal freedom. Personal freedom. You're not bound to that person that hurt you. You don't have to dodge them anymore. You don't have to go down aisle 8 in food line because they're in aisle 6. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's why you laugh. Some of you are trapped in this prison of unforgiveness. Some of you are trapped in this prison of unforgiveness. It's got you trapped. I've met some of you that are trapped. You're miserable. You're miserable. And you have decided to remain miserable by your unwillingness to forgive. And in some cases, it's me. And I don't even know you're mad at me. But then I've also met some of you that have chosen to forgive. And I can see it in your face. And it's that freedom look that Mel Gibson had. Minus the kilt, all right? It's freedom. I can see it in your face when you've forgiven everybody. When you keep short accounts. Well, they might make you mad for a little bit, but you kept a short account and you've forgiven them. You live a life of freedom. You can see it all over your face. It gives you clear thinking to be patterned from Christ. It gives you trust in God that in the midst of all the hurt, in the midst of all the job losses, that God still has a plan, that God still has a purpose for your life. You remember what Joseph told his brothers? I mean, they chunked him off to a caravan in a ditch and sold him and carried a coat back to his dad. Said, Joseph's dead, man. It was goat blood. Something got him anyway. A wolf. We'll say wolf. That sounds mean. A wolf got him. I forget what got him. What'd they say got him? Lion got him. Lion. But teacher don't even know who got him. But anyway, he was in bad shape, all right? And then his brothers met him later. And Joseph looked at his brothers, and the brothers figured out who he was. He said, don't worry about it, boys. What you intended for harm. You're going through, when you grab hold of this unforgiveness, and you forgive, and you just be set free, you can trust that God has a purpose, that God has a plan for your life. It don't matter, just be set free, you can trust that God has a purpose, that God has a plan for your life. It don't matter what the world says, it doesn't matter what your boss says, it doesn't matter what anybody says, God has a plan for your life, and in the midst of it, you can walk through it. There is a purpose. There is a plan. I want to tell you, God loves you. God loves you. But you need to choose to not be stuck where you are. It's a decision. It's a decision. You got to quit moping around. You got to quit sulking. You got to quit being a big old baby. Let me tell you something else, what forgiveness does. Forgiveness multiplies. Look at the next verse, 747. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Man, relationships can be restored. Relationships can be reconciled. You can be set free. You don't have to be stuck where you're at. No. Jesus says, do it because of what he has done. He gives you the power. He provides that. He says, your reward will be great. Last one. Fine. I know some of you said, finally. Forgive those who don't deserve it. Forgive those who don't deserve it. This is the hardest. This is the hardest. Forgive those who don't deserve it. When somebody comes to you and begs for mercy, that's easy. Somewhat. But say somebody dies and never has admitted that they were wrong. They never acknowledged the pain in somebody that loves you. Forgive them. Forgive them. Why? Because you didn't deserve to be forgiven. Forgive them. And to forgive them is going to require one thing. Trust in God. Trust in God. Luke 17:3-5 says, and if he sins against you seven times in a day and comes back to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. increase our faith. If you're going to be a forgiver, you're going to need a whole lot of extra measure of grace and a clear reminder of His work. You're going to need a whole lot of that. Increase our faith. Read this together with me. I want us to remember this. Colossians 3:13. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. With Jesus, you can. You might say natural. With Jesus, it's supernatural. You know, you won't be able to do it alone. Jesus is important to have Him. It's important that you surround yourself with Christ's followers, like cell groups, like small groups. You can't do it alone. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you in Christ. Now, I want to give you some don't do's. If you have been hurt, don't minimize it. What does that mean? Don't say, oh, it's nothing. Well, I mean, that's dumb. It's not nothing. It hurts. Don't minimize it. And don't trivialize it. That means by saying, oh, it's no big deal. It happened a long time ago. Well, that's also dumb. It hurts. It hurts. Don't let it hold you. Forgive now. Forgive today. How do you do it? Number one, give the hurt to Jesus. Don't pretend that it's not there. Don't pretend. I gave Him one this morning. Don't pretend it's not there. Don't say, oh, it doesn't hurt. It hurt me. Secondly, give the person that hurt you, or whether it's an institution, a job, or organization, whoever, whomever, whatever hurt you, give it to Jesus. Thirdly, I had to do this a lot because of the way I was raised. I got to give my revenge to Jesus. I just felt like I could hurt Him a lot more than God was wanting to. I wanted to hurt Him really bad. But that's not what the Bible says. Give. A vengeance is the Lord's. We have to give that to Him. We have to give that to Him, to Him. And lastly, maybe it needs to be first, I will forgive because I've been forgiven. I will forgive because I've been forgiven. Now, I don't want you to leave here today unforgiven and unwilling to forgive. So I want to tell you, some people need to respond to Christ. So I want to tell you, some people need to respond to Christ, offer forgiveness today. Some need to forgive someone or something today. You know, and there's always that time. The altar's always open. But also, you may want to just write it down. I'd love for you to share it with me. You know, some folks from the 9 o'clock service did. When I say share it with me, I obviously don't have time to talk to everyone. But if you want to write it down on a piece of paper, my office is open. Slip it on, just lay it on my desk. I'll get back in touch with you. But you may be here, you may be a Christ follower, and you haven't been able to forgive. Today's a good day to do that. You've been miserable for a long time. Chances are that person don't even know. Chances are that person may have passed on, and you still haven't forgiven, and you're just walking around mad, with your mad on. Today's a good day to stop that. Today's a good day to be set free. So if you want to write down that response, you want to go ahead and do that. It's a good life to be free. It's a good life to be forgiven. You may have to do it on a daily basis. So you've got that opportunity to do that. Leanne's going to come sing. Then keep your seat. Keep your seat. I want someone to share with you. Leanne, you want to come sing? There she goes. Guys, I don't know who hurt you or if you've been hurt. I don't know if it's a job or whatever. But you may have carried this thing on for years. It's eating you alive, sending you straight into a depression if you don't watch, if you're not careful. Pouring over into your family. It's just killing them. When you can decide to forgive, it's your decision. It's your choice. And like I said, if you're waiting on to feel like it, you never will. The heart is deceptive above all things. Do what's right. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Well, I pray for that young lady who's been toting around this incredible anger and unforgiveness toward her mom. I pray that today she can lay it down. I pray for that middle-aged man who's been seeking approval from his dad all these years. Lord, I pray that you reveal to him he don't need it, but he needs to forgive. That you love him, that you like him. Lord, and I pray for that one who's seeking you, who hasn't responded to that offer of forgiveness. I pray that they do that today. I love you. It's in the mighty strong name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.